السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، وأهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. نحن رجعنا I'm sorry, we have now returned back to our story. We're in Surah to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and we're on our journey through this beautiful surah. The last time we were talking, we were at the point in the story where Yusuf has given them the good news, has told the king that, look, go ask the ladies who cut themselves. Ask them what the khabar, what the news is, so that you guys can hakamu alayh. This is, again, the fa'idah, the benefit of, remember I said I'm going to give you 100 benefits. So I hope someone keeps count. I'll go back and make sure when we finish this, because the story's not a long story. We'll be done with the story and we'll still have time and we can go through and just point out the 100 benefits and someone can write it down and it'll be a benefit for everyone, inshallah ta'ala. So one of the benefits is that Allah made them cut their hands so there would be dalil, undeniable proof of what his case was all about. And he had more than enough witnesses, 41 witnesses, as to what happened to him, okay? And why he was in jail in the first place, or in prison in the first place. And so, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, astaghfirullah alameen. So, alhamdulillah, he now tells them to go back. The king goes and he becomes the judge. He judges over the situation. He finds Yusuf innocent. He brings the wazara, the ministers, the wives of the husbands of these women, and blames them for committing zulm as well. Look, you guys are in charge. And so, alhamdulillah, the wife of the Aziz, her name is Zulaykha, she steps forward because the women don't, the 40 women don't claim that they have a problem, but they don't tell the story that they rawadatku an nafsi, that they also desired him and encouraged Miss Zulaykha to take him. And then she bears witness. And as she bears witness, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, the situation becomes clear. And so she says, at the end of hers, she says, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمَ خُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَحْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ لا 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 لا. Okay, so she says, this is so we've made it clear for him to know that I did not become a traitor behind his back. Okay, and that Allah will never guide the plots and the plans of the traitors. Here the word is kha'in. Kha'in, it means, we say it's a traitor, but it's anyone who does deviance in order to get their way, tricking people. He's a kha'inin. Okay. Dishonest people, as opposed to what Yusuf is, ayyuha siddiq. So you see the comparison between Yusuf being an honest person who's going to believe and greet honesty and goodness with goodness, where a kha'in is someone who greets your honesty with trickery. Okay, so this is the difference between the two, one of the differences. Allah goes on, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي Inna Rabbi Ghafurur Rahim. So now Yusuf says, Wama ubarri'u nafsi, I'm not claiming to be totally innocent and not having any sins. I'm not a sinless person. Inna nafs, I'm a regular person. Because why? They called him an angel. Hashalillah, ma hadha illa basharun kareem. He says, Wama ubarri'u nafsi, I'm not anything, I'm a regular person. Inna nafsa, the soul, la ammaratun bisu, is constantly being encouraged while we have a qareen. Allah has put in our environment, an angel to encourage, and a shaitan, jinn, to encourage as well. Whichever one we incline towards, then that's the one that we wind up following, okay? But we get the blame for it. So the soul is la'amaratun, is commanding and ordering and encouraging itself to the body to do evil. Illa marahima rabbi, except for the ones who Allah has had mercy on them and has not encouraged them. Why? This is one mukhlasin, those whom Allah has chosen. And we say, innahu min ibadina al-mukhlasin. Allah says, he is amongst our slaves, our chosen ones, that we have purified them. Okay? So it's not from our own strength. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's only no strength and no might except with Allah. Illa man rahima rabbi, the one whom Allah has given and had mercy on. So what should we do here? Ask Allah for his mercy. La takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. Don't leave me to my own devices. Devices, my own thinking, my own figuring. My own la'amara, what I'm ordering, commanding, and encouraging myself to, for the twinkling or the blinking of an eye. I don't trust myself. Why? Because Allah doesn't trust me, right? Sometimes people say, oh, I trust you. No, don't trust me. Allah doesn't trust us like that. So this is why he puts the checks and balances in there, okay? So if you're afraid for yourself, and you should be afraid for yourself whenever you get in situations like Yusuf was in, فَاسْتَئِذْ بِاللَّهِ, turn to Allah. Ask Allah for strength. Ask Allah for help. Ask Allah to have رَحِمَ رَبِّي, to have mercy on you and to guide you and to open the way up. وَأَعْرِدْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ أَوْ صَرَفَ عَنْكَ هَذَا, turn this away from you and get you out of those situations, even if it's not a situation like that. Inna Rabbi Ghafurur Rahim. So we ask for Rahima Rabbi and we use the names here. This is the calling on Allah by his names. We ask him, we're saying we want the one who has had, Allah has had mercy on him. So what names and attributes do we use here? Ghafurur Rahim. Inna Rabbi Ghafurur Rahim. This is an acknowledgement statement here. The fact of the matter is, my Lord, Rabbi, he is Ghafur. See this word? It's ongoing. He's always forgiving. Ghafurur Rahim. He's in his Ghafur. He is extremely merciful to his entire creation. Okay? Ghafurur Rahim. And we notice because this is his rububiyyah and his lordship and him being the Rabb of everything. So there is nothing that there's not a time where he's not forgiven. Sometimes when you want to go ask someone for something, you want to know, are they in a good mood? Are they in a giving mood? You know, when we were kids, when I was a child, we would say, okay, I'm going to go ask my father for some money to go buy a hero or go to the park or something. Is he in a giving mood today? You know, we never have to worry about that with Allah. We never have to worry about Allah, about, and this is the benefit of mentioning Inna Rabbi Ghafurun Rahim, one of the fawa'id, is that we know that he is Ghafur. He is always forgiving. So he's always in the state of forgiving. So we don't have to worry. Is he in a forgiving mood right now? We can always ask for forgiveness because he's always in that state. Rahim, having extreme mercy in the fact, in his Ghafur, he is Rahim. They're not to be looked at as separate. They are one is a description of the other. Okay? وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُوتُونِي بِهِ. And the Malik said, the king said, أُوتُونِي بِهِ, أُوتُو بِهِ. Bring him to me. أَسْتَخْلِصُ لِنَفْسِي. I myself. أَسْتَخْلِصُ. The word is ikhlas. If you notice, throughout the entire surah, the same words are used in different angles, on different ways, on different people, to bring out the meanings of these words. There's another one of the benefits of this surah, that the language that is used is, oh, innahu min ibadina mukhlasin. What does the Malik say? Astakhlisu li nafsi. Of course, Allah being the one who is making him and purifying him and singling him out for him, But he says, Astakhlisu, I will seek to make him ikhlas for me. I will make him have a job only for me. Okay? I personally will deal with him. Astakhlisu linafsi, for myself. I'm going to give him a job straight from me that's going to benefit me, no one else. Meaning now, there's no one else to tell him what to do. Because he only has to answer up to who? Istakhlisu linafsi, to his Lord, the Malik. Okay? فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ قَالَ إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. So this is what he says. Pay attention. Again, another fa'idah. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ. Remember the word لَمَّا. It doesn't mean إِذَا. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْ. Right? Then here it says, فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ. Now when he talked to him, that he made the decision to do this, that, and the other thing. Whereas إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْ. Fa. So then, there is something here. But lama is when this happened, at the same time this other thing happened. When this was happening, then this happened along with it. Okay? So he's saying, فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ. Why did he speak to him? I heard so much about you. I heard the story, what the lady said. I heard the story, what the pourer of the wine said. I heard you talk about the dream that I had. Now I got to talk to this guy to see what he's all about up front and personal, real deal myself. Is he really like this? فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ. He's convinced now. Now that he spoke to him personally, قَالَ إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. You done. Okay, from this day forward, ladaina, according to us, man, he's the king. With us, you are makin, you got it. You are firm, ameen. You are trustworthy, and not only trustworthy, you are safe. You could go anywhere. You have carte blanche. You have the key to the city. No one can tell you to do anything because you are makin. Your situation is firm. It's not. That's what makin means. It's solid. I mean, no one can make you feel uncomfortable. You're safe. And not only that, you can go anywhere because you are, I mean, totally safe. Well, you got a top secret final clearance. Okay? This is what he says. Now, tamanna, what do you want? This is what comes here now. What do you want? So since you're makinun, I mean, any job you want in the country is yours. Tamanna, just ask, make a wish. So he says, qala ja'alni ala khaza'in al-ard. He says, make me the khaza'in, the how can we say it? The one that's in charge of all the grains, the stores of food in the entire country. Khazain, not khazina, khazain. Khazana is like our cabinet, right? Khazain is the plural, all the storehouses, okay? Put me over the storehouses in the whole land. Inni hafidhun alim. Now, one of the benefits we get from this is he knows the dream, okay? He knows the dream. And he knows what is necessary to fulfill this particular amana. And he knows that it's the dream of the king. And he knows, meaning the king being given this true dream shows that this king is a good person and that he has intention to save his people. So put me in the position to help you, tanfidhu amrik, to help you fulfill your dream, your aspirations. The king's gonna like that because he trusts you. You are makin amin. So then, yeah, we can make this happen. Then he says, inni hafidhun alim. He talks about himself. I'm the man for it. One of the fawaid that we get out of this particular ayah is that when you're given the situation, like he says, ask. He says, yo, you can put forth and say, yo, I have these qualifications. This is what I'm good at. I'm thief. I know how to preserve it, which he's proven, because he said, fi sumbulihi. He said, save it in its sum. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We got kicked out right quick, alhamdulillah. So I was saying that you can say that you can lay out your qualifications and say, I can do this job. The condition some of the ulama say is that you can't be just doing it just for your own personal benefit. You know, it has to be that you truly are benefiting the position itself. And we know that from the Prophet Yusuf, he's benefiting the position, and he says his qualifications, inni hafidhun alim. Okay, وكذلك, and Allah says, وكذلك, like that. مكنّا, again, the word makin is over and over and over again mentioned. مكنّا, makin, all throughout the same surah. Again, the language is repetitive, the vocabulary. وكذلك مكنا ليوسف في الأرض يتبوأ منها حيث يشاء. Pay attention now. He says, and like that, just like that.
Hey, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Hopefully it works better this time. So يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. He can go wherever he wants in the land. He has now the ability to travel and go anywhere he wants in the country. Okay? You know, نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَنْ نَشَاءُ. We pour out a nusib or a saba. Is like we say at a kalami, sabatni musibatin. But Allah saying we give a portion of our mercy on whoever we want. Okay, whoever Allah wants. وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجَلَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Again, from the benefits of this ayah is two. Number one, that this is from the mercy of Allah. Okay, you the ulama asked, you know, of tafsir, do you get firm? Do you get makenna fil ard? Without the masiba, no, you cannot get firm and makin in the land until and get this position of rahma and fowls success until after you've been tested, after you've been under the fitna. Okay, he first was in the hole, then he was turned into a slave, then he was sent to prison, then he got this final position of makin. And even after each one of them, he got another position that was firmed him in the land a little bit more and more and more. So, innama al-usri yusura, hardship, then comes the ease. Ma'al usri yusra. But yusura shows that after some type of hardship, there's multiple eases. Okay? And after the musiba that he got, then he got multiple makin, he got firm in the land in this particular way. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And another two benefits is this is from the mercy of Allah, not from something he did. The mistake comes when we think we are the reason for our success. No, it's from the rahmah of Allah. يُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. So we should say Alhamdulillah and be grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what we are under. وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Another benefit from this is that this is the reward of those who are seeking to do good. Those who are striving to work as though Allah sees them and trying to show off to Allah, trying to impress Allah and no one else. The highest level of Islam, the muhsin. وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And he says, and without doubt, the reward, the ajr, this is the payment Allah has promised of the hereafter, is better for those who believe and they had وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and they were having taqwa, meaning and they were following the sharia. Why? Because taqwa demands knowledge of what you're supposed to tattaqi. How can you say you have taqwa and you don't know the laws? How can you say you are a good Muslim practicing a good wife, a good husband, a good father, a good son, and you don't know the obligations of a good father, a mother, a son, a brother, you know, a husband, a wife? You don't know what your obligations are, what is upon you. How can you say you're a good Muslim businessman if you don't know what are the laws of business for the Muslim? You don't have taqwa of something if you don't know the laws. And there's some of us that don't even know how many laws. It's 38 laws, general major categories. You should know the definition of every last one of them. And it's not impossible. It's not impossible. But we don't, because we're not focused. So wala ajrul akhirah is better. The reward of the hereafter is better, is the best thing for those who believe. Believe in what? Believe in Allah and the last day and everything in between. And in accordance to that, they believe that Islam is the only solution. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and they were doing it, they were applying it, not just talking about it. So this shows belief. Again, the fa'idah here is belief and action. آمَنُوا is belief. Action is يَتَّقُونَ. So it's not just saying it, you have to back it up. آمَنُوا وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. وَجَاءَ وِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. Okay, so let me back up a little bit. There's a few things I want to share. Number one, when we talk about yatabawwa'u minha, he was firm in the land, moving about wherever, however he wanted to. There's another point that has to be understood. Yusuf had street credibility. Why? Because he was locked up. And all that time he was in jail, in prison, he met people from all over the country, okay? When he became the Amin, he got particular people out of jail. And he put them in charge of where they're at in their particular regions and cities to know who was the rich people and who were the poor people, who were the people of that had the land, and who were the artisans that didn't have land and everything like that. They were honest to him. They were sellies, and they were down with each other, and they trusted each other, and they protected Yusuf. Because just like, remember, they tried to kill the young king. They didn't like Yusuf either, because Yusuf openly did not follow their deen. He wasn't even Egyptian, right? Didn't speak their language initially. So they looked at him as a foreigner, okay? And they didn't like the fact that he was in charge of this, so there's no embezzlement. This is a big position. He's got the ear of the king now, and they can't do anything to him. So the people in the prison became his protectors, and they were his eyes and his ears on the street, okay? And they were the ones that it becomes important, because as Yusuf is giving out grain, he's determining who has to pay and who doesn't have to pay and how much they have to pay based on who they are. And how does he have a record? He had them take a record of it, his people, before the calamity hit of the 7 years. Okay? He had the people that he trusted. And this is yatabawwa'u minha, moving around and doing whatever, going in any door he wanted to, entering into any land he wanted to, because he had street credit and those people in the prison. So we see another benefit of him being in prison, in that big prison, and meeting all those people and benefiting them while he was there and getting their good auspices. And they became his followers, meaning they believed in his message as well, the message of Tawheed. As you see every time, as we see an example of two young men that entered with him, first thing he did was give them da'wah. And this is just to set the tone of what he did with everybody else for all the years that he was in the prison. Okay? So these became his, again, the followers of Yusuf that you don't hear about so often. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. There's another benefit I forgot to mention the other day. When Yusuf was thrown into the well, okay? Remember they said, وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. So remember that Yusuf's father, Ya'qub, was married to four women. The first one was Leah. She's the oldest wife. And she's the sister of Rahil, or we call Raquel or Rachel in English. It's Rahil in Arabic, okay, and in Hebrew. Then you have the other two wives who are not named, not given by name. They were slave women who Yaakov freed and he married them. The son who says, La taqtulu Yusuf, is said to be the son of Leah. And he's the oldest son. In some narration, they say his name is Reuben. Okay? And he's the oldest son. And he's the son of his maternal aunt. I mean, his maternal aunt. Okay? And then the other, his brother, from whom the other sons were there. And this is why they felt that they were the Usba, because the slave girls had more sons. So there's only three of them coming from Leah and Rahel. Okay? And the other sons, all the other sons, come from the slave girls. So they want this position, and they had the most hasid. All the time you see the son of Leah, he's with them, but as the oldest, they never go against him. Okay? He says, don't kill him, just drive him out the land. Okay? He says, you know, don't, what do you call it? I'm not going back until my father gives me permission to do that. This is who's doing that. Okay? That particular son. And so what's the difference between, you know, itrahuhu arda or throhum yalquhu fi ghayabatil jub? What's the difference? It doesn't seem like there's much a difference. Throw them down a well, right? Or utrohuhu, exile them from the land. Well, this is the difference. They wanted to kill. Second, itrahu meant beat him up. Beat him and then drive him out. So he's going out there without nothing, and he's just out in the desert someplace having to run for his life. No way. And after being beat, who knows what would happen to him out there. Or what does his older brother say? Throw him down a gayabatil jub or gayabatil jub. Again, it's called gayaba, meaning the bottom is unseen. What's the benefit of that? The bottom being unseen is that yaltaqithu ba'du sayyar, from the very beginning, he's saying, let's sell him. Let's throw him down a well that's dark at the bottom so they can't see him down there when they throw their rope down there. Because it says, yaltaqithu ba'du sayyara. Ba'du sayyara means some caravan that doesn't know that well is empty, okay? That doesn't know that this well is empty right here. They'll come by, they'll throw their rope down because they can't see the bottom of it. Yaltaqithu ba'du sayyara, and then we'll sell him. We'll be able to sell him, and he'll go out. This is the better situation, because at least now, being sold into slavery, he has a chance, as opposed to being driven without any food, shelter, clothing, after getting beat by 10 people. You know, it's not going to be good for him to be driven out of the land this way. So that's another benefit, that from the beginning they had the plot to sell him into the slavery as the lighter of the two situations, and his brother's trying his best to keep him alive and not to do the least of the harm to him. So these are some of the benefits that I wanted to mention here. And at this point, I want to stop, okay? Because now we're getting to the next part when the brothers come, okay? And I want to start with that particular scene, because that scene has its own set of visions that we need to look at as we go through that particular story, okay? I hope that what we've done so far is enough to help you benefit from, you know, even more from this story. Another day I had to run right quick. I didn't get to ask questions. If there's some questions, go ahead and ask me now. Anything that we've covered up to so far, I'll answer, inshallah ta'ala. If there's not, I'll give you another benefit. Yusuf's brother, his name is Benyamin. Everybody's familiar with that, right? Yusuf and Benyamin. Yes, no? You guys are familiar with this name? Is Benyamin being the brother of Yusuf? What does it mean? It means Ibnun Yamin. Okay? An Ibn, a son, that is Yamin. Yamin is right hand, but it's indicative of positive. Why? When Benjamin was born, Rahel died right after the childbirth. In childbirth, or right after childbirth, she dies. So the brothers and the other wives, not Leah, say, oh, this kid is unlucky. This child is an ibnun, yani, that's you know, shamun. He is no good. He's an unlucky child. He killed his mother in birth. So they're trying to, I'm trying to think of make the word bad omen, make it like a bad omen out of the boy. So what does Ya'qub say? La, he is not a bad omen. Bel, rather he's Ben Yamin. He is a blessed, a Yamin, a good son. Okay? A optimistic, not optimistic, I'm trying to find the English word, but a good omen, let's say it like that. Okay? So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I hope that you get the benefit just from his name itself, what they were from the negativity on one side, and how the Prophet Ya'qub changed that by even just naming his son Benjamin like that. So it would always be there. Oh, and they would have to say Benjamin. And this is a way to counter their hasad and their sihr, because sihr, magic, is what you say out your mouth too. You, a person can give sihr and doesn't realize it. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that some speech is sihr. When a person says, you are a jackass, for example, someone says, you jackass, you know, that is a curse. That's magic. They're hoping and saying that that person would be a jackass and would behave like one and become like one. And this is the influence of speech. Don't you get happy when people say nice things to you? Don't you get upset when people say ugly things to you if you're not training yourself to be calm? And even then, it's a training. It's a defense from the sihr of their language and from their vibe of their energy that they pass through in the area that you're in. You walk into an area, you can feel the ugly, the stink, or you can feel the joy and the camaraderie and the togetherness. This is all real, okay? It's all real and palatable. So when they wanted to say, oh, what a wicked son, what an evil son, what a bad omen, son, you killed your mother, Ya'qub flips it. Says, now his name is Benjamin. So now they have to say, Benjamin, Benjamin, that kills the hasad. It doesn't kill their hasad, but it kills their sihr, and it kills their ability to throw at him their magic and label him as an evil son and not have that effect on him. So we see the very importance, another fa'idah, the importance of naming. Naming with a meaning, okay? And we see another fa'idah of being careful of what your children and your wives are doing and correcting it, even if you don't tell them all the reasons why you're correcting it, okay? He corrects it and protects his children, even from themselves. He's all for what? But what do we see? Some of us, sadly, you damn children, you bad ba-ba-ba children, these are curses. We've now cursed them. We've now put the magic on them, and they're going to live down or live up to what you say. This damn car, you know, you damned it. Of course it's a bad car now, or whatever it is. So we, too, have to be careful of the words we push. These are seeds that grow. They have palatable existence. Just because you can't see it does not make it less real. You can feel it. And everybody knows it. They used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. That's not true. That's definitely, at War College in the Marine Corps, they teach that more Marines are injured by the words of women than they are from the bullets of the enemy. And it's true. It's very true. So we should take the message again. Okay, that's another one of the benefits. Now let's. I saw someone type something. Try. And his wife, all these years, wants some other dude.
Okay, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is a beautiful question. What happened to the Aziz after the Zulekha? She testified. The Aziz gets sick with grief. He can't even face Yusuf. He can't face anybody. He goes in the house, and after a short sickness, he dies. He never sees Yusuf again. He never faces him because Yusuf was always faithful to him, okay? And did all this time, and still they couldn't say nothing bad about him, right? kept it within himself. And so Zuleika, it's reported that she marries Yusuf. This comes in the Israelites, that she eventually marries him as his second wife. Okay? And there's some exact that come with that. I'll tell that story tomorrow. But then again, this is one of the reasons they said there's this opening for this job here, for any particular job, because not only is that place, and he takes over the governor's palace. So now the old Aziz is dead. He's out of there. He takes over the palace in that place. Okay. And initially, Zuleika was not allowed to be there. She was moved out as well. You know, but there's a story to go with it, and we'll talk about that. What was the other question? I didn't get to see the other question. Can someone where's it at? Let me see what. I don't see it. Let me see. Okay, Sheikh, at what time did Yusuf alayhi salam become a prophet? Did the people around him know that he was a prophet and son of a prophet? No. Okay, so remember, he's in this land. Now, we're looking at his age now. We know from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that no prophet became a prophet before 40. This is what we've learned, okay, that no one became a prophet before the age of 40. But we're looking at Yusuf. He's around 40 around this time. Remember, he was 10 years old when he left home. He spent 10 years, here in doing this, the period of time where he was a slave. He spent about 10 years in prison, and he comes out, and then he becomes in this position, and there's 7 years and 7 years. So around this time, he comes into his prophecy. But we also see something else that contradicts that, and that's saying that when he became ashuddahu atainahu al-hukma, ashuddahu wa ilma, that Allah gave him the hukum and the ilm. So it could be that he got his knowledge in prophecy before that, because he's already getting wahyi. So Allah knows best about when he exactly became a prophet. It's best to remain silent about it, because there's nothing clear about it. You get my point? Or what is meant by 40? We know no man becomes a grown man before he gets the age of 40. So Allahu A'lam, what we do see is that he received wahyi while he was young, and that he received it while he was in prison. And all this is happening before he became the age of 40. So Allah knows best. Allahu A'lam. Okay? Again, when we find things that we can't find an answer for, normally they don't have anything to do with, confirming our iman in the particular situation. You know, it doesn't stop us loving the story, not knowing if he was a prophet before 40 or not, right? Follow me, guys? And with that said, we'll stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum.